Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Do you tithe? Do you give a tenth of your income to God? Now, if you do, why do you tithe? I want you to think about that, and I want you to come up with your answer in your mind. If you give a tenth of your income to God, why do you do that? What's the real reason in your heart of hearts that you do that? If you do not tithe, if you do not give a tenth of your income to the Lord, why don't you? What's your reason? If you stood before Jesus and He said to you, why did you not give a tenth of your income to me? What would you say to Him? In all honesty, what would be your answer? Why not? Today we're going to be answering the question, as a Christian, do you have to tithe? Do you have to give a tenth of your income to God? Now, there's a good bit of confusion among Christians over this subject. There are some Christians who say, yes, you've got to give a tenth of your income to God. And if you do not, you're robbing God. Other Christians say, no, you don't have to. We're not under the Old Testament law. And tithing was a part of the Old Testament law. And we're New Covenant Christians. We're under grace. So, you don't have to tithe now. What does God say? That's a real question, isn't it? What does God have to say about the tithe? Well, God has a good bit to say about it. In fact, the Bible mentions the tithe no less than 30 times. And when you put that in comparison to the fact that the Bible mentions hell 13 times, that shows you how much God has to say about the subject of tithing. Now, let's look, first of all, at what the Bible says about giving a tenth before the Old Testament law was given. Now, the word tithe, T-I-T-H-E, simply means tenth. That's what the word in the Hebrew means, tenth. One-tenth, or 10%. So when we talk about tithing, we're talking about 10%. Of something. Be it your income, be it your time, whatever it might be. A tithe is 10%. Now take your Bibles and turn over to Genesis 14. This is the first place in all of Scripture that we have the tithe mentioned at all. First place. Someone has said, any time in Scripture you have something mentioned for the first time, you should take special note. There's special significance to that. Now, over in Genesis 14, the context of this passage is Abraham and Lot have moved to the country of Sodom. And some opposing kings, five kings in fact, came and invaded the land of Sodom. They captured many of the cities. They looted these cities. They captured Lot, Abraham's nephew, and his family, and these kings took these captives and their loot back to their country. Well, Abraham finds out about this, and so he takes his men, he forms an army, and he goes after these foreign kings that have come into the land and captured his nephew Lot and his family, along with many of the other families. And so God gives Abraham a tremendous victory. He defeats these five kings. So he takes their loot, as was the practice in those days, to the victor goes the spoils. He took all of their loot. He took the captives that they had captured, along with Abraham, Lot and his family, and he goes back to his home country of Sodom. Now, on the way back, he meets Melchizedek, who is a priest of God. And it is here that we pick up the story in Genesis 14, beginning in verse 17. In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand as we read together. Genesis 14, beginning in verse 17. Then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him, that is Abraham, at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him, that is, Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He, that is Abraham, gave him, that is Melchizedek, a tenth, a tithe of all." You may be seated. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and most of all, the obedience to His Word. So Abraham gives this priest of God a tenth of the loot he's taken from the kings he has defeated. And a question comes up, why? Why did Abraham give Melchizedek, a priest of God, 10% of everything that he had gotten from these kings? Why did he do that? He didn't do it because God commanded the giving of the tithe at this point. The law concerning the tithe was not going to be given for another 650 years. So he was certainly under no obligation to give it. It was not commanded by God that he give it. Then why would Abraham give a tenth of these goods to God? The reason is because Abraham gave the tenth as an expression of his love and gratitude to God for the victory God had just given him. The giving of the tenth is an act of worship on Abraham's part. It is a free will offering. It's the natural expression of Abraham's love and adoration and appreciation to God for giving him that victory. Now you and I do the same thing. When we want to show our love and appreciation for someone, it's customary that we give them a gift. When we celebrate anniversaries here at the church, it's customary that we will give a gift to that person whose anniversary we're celebrating. It's a show of our appreciation and our love. You do the same thing at holidays. You do it at the birthdays. At anniversaries, you better in your marriage, men, you give a gift as an expression of your love, of your appreciation. You're not commanded to do so. In fact, what would it mean to your wife if she knew you were giving it only because the law said you had to? If suddenly our legislature in Georgia passed a law that said every man must give his wife a gift on his wedding anniversary date that is at least $50, but no more than $60. And what would it mean to your wife if you gave her that gift? She knew you had to do it. But if you gave it out of strictly because you love her, you appreciate her, it means something. And so when someone does something very meaningful for us, it's customary that we want to show them how much we appreciate that by giving them a gift in return for what they've done for us. Now when the writer of Hebrews mentions this giving of the tithe by Abraham, he says that Abraham gave the choicest spoils. Over in Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 4. Now observe how great this man was, he's talking about how great Melchizedek was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave him a tenth of the choicest spoils. Choicest spoils. Abraham didn't just give a tenth of what he didn't want. He didn't just give God a tenth of what was left over. He gave God the best
of what he had. The choicest spoils. The best of everything he had, he says, I want to give this to God as a sign of my love and my appreciation to God for giving me this victory, what he's done for me. And so that further enforces the thought that this was an act of worship on Abraham's part. That he was giving out of a heart of love for God. Nothing but the best was good enough for his God. That's the first time we have the tithe mentioned in Scripture. The second time we have it mentioned in Scripture is also found in Genesis chapter 28. Now this concerns Abraham's grandson, Jacob. Now the situation around this passage is that Jacob has tricked his father Isaac into giving him the family blessing that should have rightfully gone to his older brother Esau, the older twin. But Jacob tricked his father and he got the blessing, which was a double portion. Well, Esau finds out that Jacob has tricked him, and he is furious and basically vows that as soon as Isaac is dead, he's going to kill Jacob. He is seething with murderous anger. Well, their mother Rebekah hears this, and so she says to Jacob, you got to get out of here. You've got to leave. Your brother is so angry, he's just waiting till your father dies and he's going to kill you. Go back to my relatives, my brother. Go to my brother and stay with him. You'll be safe there. And so Jacob begins on this journey and he travels until nighttime and he stops to rest and he lays down and as he is sleeping, he has a dream. And in this dream, he sees a ladder from heaven down to earth, and he sees the angels going back and forth on this ladder. And he sees God at the top of the ladder, and God says to him, and we pick it up, beginning in verse 10 of Genesis 28. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. In the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. You see, what God is doing here is he is reaffirming the covenant, the promise that he made with Abraham, Jacob's grandfather. He's saying, I'm going to use you to pass this covenant down to your descendants. Verse 14. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I've set up as a pillar will be the God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Abraham promises in this, Jacob promises in this vow that as God blesses him, he will give a tithe, a tenth of everything God gives him, he'll give back to God. Now, why does Jacob make this commitment to God? Why does he make this vow? Why does he make this promise? It's not because the law commands him to give a tenth of all of his possessions. The law concerning the tithe was not going to be given for another 450 years. That has nothing to do with it at all. Why then would he do it? Have you figured it out? Because he loves God. And he wants to show his love and his appreciation to God, who has just made this tremendous promise to him. I'll be with you. I'll multiply your descendants like the dust of the earth. I will give you all of this land. And out of a sign of appreciation and love for his God and adoration, he says, God, I'll give you back a tenth of everything that you give me. So Jacob gave a tenth as an expression of his love and adoration to God. Now I believe these two accounts should be enough to silence those Christians who say that Christians do not need to tithe because we're not under the law anymore. Jacob and Abraham knew nothing of the law of tithing, but yet they tithed. They wanted to give a tenth to God of their possessions because of their love and adoration for Him. Now, if you do not want to give a tenth of your possessions to God as a sign of your love and appreciation to Him, then what does that say about your heart condition? If Abraham and Jacob, who knew nothing of the saving love of Jesus Christ, who knew nothing of having their sins washed away through the blood of Christ's death on the cross in their place, who knew nothing of the grace of God that you know, were willing to give a tenth because of their love and appreciation for God, how can you give any less than that and your heart not be in trouble and you not have a heart problem? That your love for God falls far short. Why wouldn't a person want to give at least a tenth? Covetousness, greed, unbelief, worldliness, materialism, selfishness? It's entangled your heart. If you want to give out of love and appreciation for God, that's because your heart's been entangled with all of these vices. So that's giving before the Old Testament law. Now, let's skip over the Old Testament law and look at giving a tenth under the New Covenant. Now, I'm purposely skipping what the Old Testament says, the Old Covenant says about tithing, because we're just going to eliminate that equation altogether. Because I believe that the Christian and our giving is closer paralleled to the giving of Abraham and Jacob before the law than it is the giving of the Israelites under the law. I think our giving should be motivated by love and appreciation and admiration for God, as Jacob and Abraham's was, not as the Israelites many times, his giving was motivated by strictly the law commanded it, so he had to do it. I don't think you and I are under that law, that command. What we're under is the grace of God. So the first thing I want you to see is the Christian is not commanded to give the tenth. The Christian is not commanded to give the tithe. Now the Old Testament Israelite had to give a tenth because the tenth belonged to God. Look in Leviticus 27:30. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. What Moses was saying is, to the Old Testament Israelite, a tenth of everything he had was God's. It's not yours. And so if you keep it, you're robbing God. And that's why in the Old Testament they can say, look, you're robbing God by not giving your tenth to Him. It's His. You're keeping something that's God's. Because the 10% was God's in the Old Testament. So you're not commanded to give a tenth as they were in the Old Testament. But let me ask this question. How much of what you have is God's? 10%? Like the Old Testament Israelite? 30%? 50%? 100%? 100% of everything you have is God's. So you see, the question is not, should I give 10% of what I have to God, but should I keep 90% of what God's is for myself? You see, so we're not commanded to give a tenth, because 100% of what we have is God's. So the question is, how much should I keep of God's? Not how much should I give of mine, because none of it's mine. How much should I keep of what God has given me? That's the true question. You see, when you realize that everything is God's, then the 10% is only the floor. It's not the ceiling of giving. Some people think, man, I give 10%, I tithe, so hey, I don't need to give anymore. I've done what is required of me. But when you realize everything's God's, you want to move beyond keeping 90% of what's God's for yourself, and you want to keep less of what's God's for yourself. You want to keep 80% of what's God's for yourself and use 20% for His kingdom. Or 75%. Or 70%. Some Christians have come to the place of only keeping 5% of what is God's and giving 95%, using 95% of what is His for His kingdom work. So the giving of the tenth is only the floor. It's not the ceiling of our giving. So no, you're not commanded to give a tenth. It's all His. Second truth. Your giving is to be an expression of your love and gratitude to God. Now, if you're giving only 2% or 5% to God, what does that show about your love for God? We saw that Abraham and Jacob gave 10% as an expression of their love and appreciation for God. It was an indication of their love for God, and every indication in Scripture is that God accepted this giving of the tenth. This was an acceptable expression of their love to God. Now, does it make sense that you and I, who have experienced the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ, who've had our sins washed away through the blood of the Lamb, who know we have a place in heaven for eternity with God, that we would give less than Abraham and Jacob? We who know God's love and have experienced it, that we in our love and adoration for God would give less than these Old Testament saints? You see, your giving is an act of worship. We need to realize that. Your giving is an act of worship. It's not paying a tax. It's an act of worship. Look over in Philippians chapter 4, beginning of verse 17. Paul's talking to the Philippians about their giving to his ministry. And I want you to notice the terms of the Old Testament worship that are used by Paul in this passage. And what he's telling me by using these terms is that giving is to be an act of worship. Paul says in verse 17 of Philippians 4, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. And I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent." Now he describes their offering. "A fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Did you notice the terms that Paul uses there that are Old Testament terms for the Old Testament worship? Fragrant aroma. The Old Testament talked about the sacrifice as being a fragrant aroma to God. He says an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. An integral part of the Old Testament worship was the bringing of sacrifices and gifts. Now, the new covenant, we no longer bring sacrifices. Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice. But we do bring our money. And the bringing of our money is the bringing of us, like bringing the sacrifices of the Old Testament. We're bringing to God a part of who we are. Because you can't separate your money from who you are. We've talked about how deeply we feel about our possessions and our money. And so when you bring your money, you're bringing an expression of who you are. You're bringing an expression of your love and adoration for God. What's worship? Worship is the love, the adoration, the honoring of God. It's recognizing His worthiness. And what you gave today, what does it say about God's worthiness in your eyes? What you gave today, what does it say about your attitude of love and adoration for God? What does it say about your worship of God? You see, giving is just as much a part of worship as prayer, as praise, as the preaching of the Word. Giving of your money is a vital part of worship because it represents your love and your appreciation and your gratitude to God. You see, your giving is not to be an expression of your obedience to a law, but an expression of your love and adoration for God. Let me say that again. Your giving is not to be an expression of your obedience to the law, but it is to be an expression of your love, your adoration, your gratitude to God. That's what it represents. You know, you can say all day, "Oh, how I love God." You can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But what you give says more about your love for Jesus than what you say. Words are cheap. When you get off that pocketbook and you start giving, that's an expression of your love, much greater than simply your words. The songs you say, the prayers you pray, those are words. Your actions speak much louder. Third, giving the tenth is to teach us to trust God. In the Old Testament, the giving of the tithe was to remind them of their total dependence on God. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 and 23, we see this. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. You shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God at the place where He chooses to establish His name. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and your flock. Now why? One of the purposes. So that you may learn to fear the Lord your God. You see, their tithing in the Old Testament was to teach them to respect and reverence and trust God. Now our new covenant giving is also to teach us to trust God. The higher percentage of the income you have that you give to God, the more you have to trust God. It's that simple. Now, if you're giving God 30% of your income, you're going to have to trust God more than the person that's giving 2%. Just makes sense, doesn't it? And God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to believe that He will meet your needs and bless you. That He will take care of you. And the larger percentage of what you give to Him, the more trust is going to take in your life. I've told you this before, and bear with me, those of you who remember it. But you remember when I went to the first church after seminary, and then in Florida, and I had my budget all worked out. I knew exactly how much I was going to be making, and I mean, I had it worked out to the penny. I mean, in those days, things were so tight, I'd have to take a calculator to the grocery store and add up the groceries as we went to make sure that we didn't go over. Some of you have been there. And I had all worked out to the penny. And my tithing, I was given a tenth of my take-home pay. That's after taxes. I reasoned, well, this is what I'm actually getting. You know, Uncle Sam's is the other, so I'll just give it on the tithe of what I take home. But I was in my study one day studying the Scriptures, and God began to deal with me. And basically, He said, you need to give me of the first fruits. That's before taxes. Well, I immediately knew that there was no way I could do that and not blow my budget all to pieces. I mean, it was down to the penny, so it was no budge room. And so I wrestled with God about that a little bit. And finally, God brought me back to the point, are you going to trust me or not? That was the bottom line. Did I really believe God? Did I really trust God? You know, did I think, well, the church, that's my source. The church, check, that's all I got to depend on. Or was I going to trust God to provide over and above? See, we tend to look at that job as our source and not God. God's just using that job. He can use anything He wants. But when we look to just that job as our source, and we can get real uptight thinking we might lose that job or whatever else. But when we realize it's God who's our source, His resources are unlimited, aren't they? And so God gave me the grace to trust Him and step out. Now, I had to trust God more than I had to trust Him given the 10% before. But I had to trust Him more because everything was less for what I'd expended to her as I had planned. But I'm here to tell you, God provided. In His own way, He provided. We never went without anything we needed. Because God is able. It takes faith to trust God. Now, God's promised that you cannot outgive Him. Now, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You cannot outgive God. Try it sometime. Now, this obviously is the assumption that you're using sound principles of stewardship. Now, you can't be out spending foolishly and then say, okay, God, I'm in the hole financially, so I'm going to borrow money and give you all of this money so you'll multiply back and I'll get out of debt. No. God will provide what you need, but the understanding is you are using sound biblical principles and not out there wasting money expecting God to bail you out because you made some foolish financial decisions. But if you will follow sound biblical principles and your finances, I can promise you, you cannot outgive God. R.G. Letourneau tried. He was a Texas industrialist, and he gave away 90% of his income. Now, this is what he had to say. He says, I shovel it out, and God shovels it back. But God has the bigger shovel. He couldn't outgive God. Well, the Bible says that same things over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 8. Paul's talking in these chapters about the Christians in Corinth taking up an offering and giving for the Christians in Jerusalem who were going through some difficult times. And he basically says, you can't outgive God. The more you give, the more God's going to give to you. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. And by grace, he's talking about their income. So that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. In other words, he says, God can make your funds multiply back to you so that you'll always have plenty to give for every time a need arises. Every occasion you want to give, you can give because God's going to multiply back. As it is written, he bases it on an Old Testament passage in Psalms. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. That's basically saying God gives to us. We cannot give Him. Now verse 10. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in everything for all liberality which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Paul takes a farming analogy. He said you take a kernel of corn, you plant that one kernel, you give it up by planting it, and what happens? You get a corn stalk that has ears of corn on it, and you have increased your one kernel by over 1,000, probably. Right? He's using that same analogy. He says, you give your money to God. It's like planting that seed. And God's going to multiply back to you. Now, hear this. God multiplies back to you. God prospers you not to increase your standard of living, but to increase your standard of giving. God multiplies back to you not that you can live better, but that you can give better. You see, that's the cycle. You give, God multiplies back to you. You give more, He multiplies more. You give more. That's what R.G. Letourneau was saying. I shovel it out, but God shovels it back and He's got a bigger shovel. Do we really believe that? Well, that's the sixth key to joyful giving. That God prospers you not to raise your standard of living, but to raise your standard of giving as you store up treasures in heaven. Now let me review a moment what we have seen about the Christian and the tithe. First, Christians are not commanded to give the tenth because everything we have belongs to God. The question is not, should I give 10% to God, but should I keep 90% of what God has to use on myself? That's the question. Next, your giving is to be an expression of your love and gratitude to God. Abraham and Jacob gave a tenth, and they knew nothing of the love of Jesus, as you and I do. Thirdly, your giving the tenth is to teach you to trust God. Now, back to the original question. All right. As a Christian, do I have to tithe? If a Christian is really asking that question, there are problems in their spiritual condition. I hope you've seen today that if even you're honestly asking that question, do I have to tithe? You're showing that you've got some spiritual problems. That your heart condition is in trouble. Your giving is not, do I have to give? But man, I want to give because I love God and because I appreciate what He's done for me. It's my joy to give back to my God who has given me so much. Why wouldn't you want to give at least 10% as an expression of your love for God? Why wouldn't you want to give at least 10% as an expression of your trust in God? That He's going to multiply back to you. Next question. Is it a sin not to give 10% to God? Is it a sin not to give 10% to God? Well, let me follow it with another question. Why wouldn't you want to give 10% to God, at least? Why wouldn't you? Well, I just don't think I can pay my bills if I do. Well, that's unbelief. That's sin. Well, you know, if I do, then I can't buy this thing I've really been wanting to buy. I've been having my eyes on that 42-inch plasma, and I won't be able to buy that plasma TV if I do this. Well, that's greed. That's a sin. You know, there's only one condition that I can think of where a person could not tithe and it not be a sin. If your husband says, I don't want you to tithe, then ladies, you're off the hook. As a submissive wife, it would not be a sin for you not to tithe because you're being obedient to your husband. Yeah, your husband would be in sin. What would be his reason? But you'd be all right. So, is it a sin not to tithe? Well, if you can come up with a reason that's not sinful for not tithing, then I guess I'd say no, it's not. But what's your reason? Why not? But you see, all these questions are really not the real issue. Do I as a Christian have to tithe? Is it a sin not to tithe? All of those are not the right question, folks. The real question we need to be asking is, how much do I want God to bless me? That's a real question. How much do you want to be blessed? That should determine how much you give. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have given us the opportunity to express our love and our appreciation and our adoration to you through our giving of what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.